Welcome to the NAPMA Maximum Impact Teleconference Call Archive CD. Each month, you're encouraged to join our NAPMA executive team of proven hyper-successful school owners, including Grandmaster Stephen Oliver, Master Toby Milroy, Grandmaster Jeff Smith, and many other special guests, along with our group of hundreds of growth-minded school owners from every corner of the globe, all gathering to collaborate, share what's working today strategies, proven successful marketing techniques, and tried and true business principles to help you take your school to the next level on this live teleconference. But this is also your chance to have your specific questions answered by our brain trust of industry experts. Check the call schedule in your member support package or in your members resource website for call-in times and access information. So let's jump right into this call in progress.
All right. Hello, everyone. Toby Miller here again, Chief Operating Officer for NAPMA. And welcome to our monthly NAPMA members call. Today we have a good number of things to try to get through, so we're going to have to move relatively quickly. We've got about 2.5 or 3 minutes before we get started, before everybody gets online, but right now we already have, it looks like 35 or 40 people online so far. So we'll wait for a couple of minutes here until everybody gets a chance to dial in. I do have a good number of sort of new things to talk about today, new things that we're working on over here at NAPMA, and also sort of our outline for October marketing and spiraling quickly into the holiday season, for lack of a better analogy. So we'll kind of walk through a lot of those logistics, a lot of what we're really focused on right now within our own schools, within the franchise part of the business, with our high-level inner circle and people forum members, and what we're working on from a membership content standpoint as well. So lots of stuff to cover, and we'll be getting kicked off in earnest here in just about a minute and a half. So everybody stand by with me, and we'll continue to accelerate as everybody gets logged in here. Stand by 1 second, guys. Let me make sure I've got the mute all controlled and everything. Okay, looks like our recording is all set up exactly the way we need it to be, and everything's functioning appropriately. So everybody right now, you're muted. We're in presentation mode. So you give me just a moment here to make sure that I get everybody so you can unmute yourself. Okay. So now we're in Q&A mode. So at any point during our conversation today, if you do have questions about the topic that we're on or something, the burning question that must be asked while we're on the line, that is in part what this call is designed for. We tend to be semi-structured for the first, two-thirds of the call, and we try to save, typically 20 to 30 minutes toward the end of our call for any open questions that might not be directly related to our topic. So if you do have any specific questions about anything we've covered today, feel free to hit *6 on your phone. Your hand will go up on my little service over here, and you'll be unmuted, and you'll be able to jump in and ask those questions or make those comments. We have to keep everybody muted on the line right now. Once we get up over about 25 or 30 people on the call, it tends to get quite noisy if we don't have everybody muted when we start the call. So bear with us on that. So we have before us again a lot of items, a lot of ground to cover today, a lot of things for us to be working on. But let me give you a quick outline on sort of our general marketing strategy right now, moving into October and November. Mr. Oliver will be joining us in just a few moments, and he'll expand on some of this stuff. But before we jump into that, let's talk a little bit of logistics in the NAPMA universe. For what's happening over the next couple of months. We have next week our Inner Circle and Peak Performer, now the Inner Circle Apprentice Program. We have our live meeting coming up at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. That's going to be for Inner Circle members. That will be Friday and Saturday, the 10th and 11th, I think that is. And then for Peak Performer members, that'll be Saturday and Sunday, the 12th and 13th. So let me say that again. Friday the 11th and 12th for Inner Circle members. Friday and Saturday for Inner Circle members. Saturday and Sunday for Peak Performer members. And we're going to be meeting at just off Harvard campus in Cambridge at the Hyatt Regency Cambridge. Apparently the hotel there has been, if not sold out, close to sold out. And there seem to be a lot of conventions and conferences happening in the Boston area. And some of the hotels close to the area are also filling up. So I sent around to everybody yesterday and the day before a long list of nice and, you know, different scales of hotels within a few mile radius of the event, host event hotel. And there, you'll find sort of the gambit of scale there. Downtown Boston is just right across the river, and it's a pretty upscale, pretty nice area. So there are a lot of really nice hotels right there. And then as you go out, you know, concentric, you know, miles or so, about 5 or 6 miles out, there are a bunch of, you know, suburban hotels out there as well. So there are a lot of options in the area. I've sent around a bunch of different examples for everybody, so you can take a look at that by email yesterday. So we're going to be heading out to Cambridge. For us, we'll be out there on Thursday, and then we'll fly out probably on Monday. But we're really excited about what we're going to be talking about, at Harvard specifically. We're going to be doing a lot of case studies on how Harvard manages to maintain their level of exclusivity and to maintain their sort of culture and their brand and their ability to maintain their quality standards at the same time as incredibly high financial standards, right? Incredibly high revenue standards. And if you think about a martial arts school, you can start to see some pretty dramatic parallels, right? An awful lot of our industry, probably the bottom 60 or 70% of our industry, thinks that there's some dichotomy that exists, that if you can make a lot of money in your school, you must be watering down your curriculum. You must be teaching crappy lessons. You must be generating, you know, low-quality black belts. And, you know, we just know that that's just BS. I mean, there are some folks out there who, for one reason or another, think that quality is not connected to results, but I don't believe that. None of us believe that. In fact, in my experience and what we teach and all the things that we're doing, the higher quality, the higher we push quality standards, especially for black belts and, you know, higher ranked students, the higher we push quality standards, the better our financial results are. Because when somebody comes in as a new student, if they see, you know, disrespectful students, non-focused students, students who can't physically perform the way they expect or the way you expect, then they know that you're a fraud, right? They know that you're not doing what you say you can do. So what I tend to see and what I believe is the opposite of what I think the bottom 50 or 60% of the industry believes is that the higher you push your quality standards, you know, the better financial results get. Now, having said that, I think that we should be measuring a lot more than just physical quality. You know, just because somebody can kick vertically doesn't mean that they're, you know, high quality, right? That's one measurement. That's a way to measure one small fragment of what it is to be a black belt. But in my estimation, you know, there are character attributes that we're looking for. I remember a story. Not a story, I was there, but I remember a black belt exam in Denver maybe 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago. It's been a number of years. But we have, each year, we have a high-level black belt examination out in the mountains in Denver in Colorado. And it's a 3-day black belt examination. The students get there, you know, Friday after school on Friday, and they exam all Friday night, all day Saturday, and all, you know, about three-quarters of the day on Sunday. And, you know, it's typically out in the mountains about, you know, 9,000 feet elevation or, you know, 8 to 10,000 feet elevation, so that adds a lot of stress to students. But the point is, as the exam progressed, they're examining for their black belt the entire time, not just while they're on the floor performing a form or anything like that. It's about measuring their character. It's about measuring their physical performance. And, you know, I've seen it happen many times, but there's one specific case where a student failed for their secondary black belt exam because as they were in the hotel elevator, a person was trying to get into the elevator, and instead of that student sort of, you know, holding the elevator for them and you know, helping that person out, instead of sort of demonstrating that character, they didn't. Therefore, that student failed, right? So I think it's about a lot more than just physical quality. It's about character quality. It's about, you know, the other skills that we're teaching as well. So if you're going to have high standards, you have to have high standards, I think, across the board. So long story short, that's the dichotomy, I think, that we have to be careful of. It's not something that I think exists in our frame. So to continue to move on with that, the study of how Harvard University orchestrates itself, how it positions itself, how it maintains those levels of standards, at the same time maintaining incredibly high financial results, is sort of part of our study, part of what we're working on, part of what we're studying as we're at the meeting and previous to the meet, you know, prior to the meeting. All people forming our circle members, you should make sure that you check your email inbox. Seems like an awful a number of our emails aren't being opened, but we've sent around over the last 2 days a number of case studies. Master Oliver selected, I think, about 10 or 12 case studies that should be in your email inbox yesterday from me, the day before from Master Oliver. So you should check your inbox, check your spam filters if you haven't received any of that stuff, and take a look at those case studies. There's a little outline on there of what to focus on and things like that. So take a look at all that.
You bet.
I'm sorry. Okay. The last piece of logistics. So that's kind of what our focus is at Harvard, kind of what we're working on, what we're looking at. And I think it's going to be, you know, incredibly beneficial, not just only to, you know, our members, but I think just in general, we have a lot to model there. We have a lot that we should be, you know, sort of extracting from that industry, from that niche, from that environment, and inserting into the martial arts industry. You know, I think an awful lot of our folks over the last couple of years have tremendously benefited from the experiences that we've put together at Disney, both Disneyland and Disney World, West Point. You know, taking those extremely high-level experiences from outside the martial arts industry and translating that for our tools. So I think that's been incredibly valuable for those folks. So that's sort of the focus for the Harvard event and activity. The second logistical item, Master Oliver, if there's anything that you need to expand on that, we're just sort of...
Well, you and I both sent a number of articles, case studies, one thing or another, as a preface to our Harvard or Cambridge experience. And the I think the important thing with that is that, you know, we're always looking to incorporate several things to our members. And what happens in all industries, if you put even top performers, sit them all around the circle and have them looking at each other and not focus on what other industries, other organizations, other institutions are doing, is it gets really inbred. And certainly one of the things that I have tried to do for, you know, coming on 30 years now or a little more in the industry is to always go outside and figure out what other businesses, organizations, groups are doing, and figure out how it translates to us. And the articles that are sent around, a couple of them have specifically to do with Harvard or the Harvard Business School. But in truth, the point of theming the event around Harvard is to really bring everybody to a higher level of thinking about how to think about their business and how to look at, you know, other outside industries and other organizations. And some of the articles that were sent around included articles done by Harvard about Starbucks and about Disney and about Apple and about other organizations that would appear to be dissimilar. But in reality, there are great lessons that we can learn. And I think that, for instance, at our trip to Disney, I think a lot of people started with the idea of, okay, we're going to go to, you know, to Disney, this big theme park. What does that have to do with me? And by the time they were done and we, you know, went behind the scenes and underground and we, you know, heard the staff at Disney talking about the level of service they provide and some of the stories about that, I don't think anybody came away without a complete understanding of there being huge application to, you know, to us and our niche and our industry and, you know, and what we specifically can do.
Yeah, so, I think that's right. That industry incest sort of problem is everywhere. It's not just in the martial arts. It's everywhere. And, you know, anytime at some level, it's kind of like making a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. You know, at one generation, at generation two and three and four, it starts to lose fidelity, you know. And almost all breakthroughs, if you look at, you know, every industry, almost all big breakthroughs in that industry come from outside the industry. If you look at, you know, let's say 15 years ago or 13 years ago, if you look at martial arts, if you look at online marketing in martial arts, well, one of the first big breakthroughs really kind of came through you, but you know, really came from, you know, sequential autoresponders in you know, martial arts websites, right? And nobody in the industry, nobody had any idea of how to integrate this type of a software because it wasn't designed for a small industry like this. Those pieces of software, those applications were designed for multi-billion dollar corporations, you know, big companies. And you know, that sort of technology was sort of brought into this niche. It didn't bubble up from within the niche. The niche didn't have the vision to be able to accomplish that type of thing. And now it's almost commonplace. I mean, you know, everybody should be using some kind of sequential autoresponder. So it's definitely one of the reasons we continue to look outside the industry. We continue to look at these types of organizations. They're just, number one, great examples. But number two, there are always, you know, pieces of the puzzle that are commonplace in that industry that are like unheard of in ours, you know, that we just haven't, you know, even approached yet. So, we're pretty excited about that. But so the next piece of logistic, I guess, before we sort of jump into sort of what what we're working on in Atma, is about our updates. Everybody on the call, probably if you're on the call, you did receive it all, so it's probably, you know, preaching to the choir. But you should be getting at least a couple of emails a week from us. For member updates. So that when new material goes up on the member's website, every week the new words of the week items are up there. At least once a month, the new newsletter, the Kikin newsletter, the Gold Team newsletter, the National Bible Club newsletter. You should be getting those updates at least once a week, twice a week. If you're not, you know, jot down the office phone number and give Bob a call at the office. And then leave him a real detailed voicemail. It's very hard to get through to Bob at the office because he's on the phone all the time, right? So just leave him a very detailed voicemail with your updated contact information, your updated email address, and your mobile number. We're going to be doing more and more text messaging notifications of when our new material goes up. We're very aggressively embracing a lot of the digital technology to be able to get stuff to you quicker. Mr. Robert, we get an awful lot of noise on your side. I think your microphone might be amplifying the sound around you rather than killing it. That's better. The moral is, if you're not receiving at least a couple of emails from my email address, TobyMiller@Atma.com, I typically use that email address for member updates for content. Now, you can't really reply to that email address because I get about 400 emails a day, so it goes into a big box where I'm never going to get back to it. But typically, member updates come from either my email address, TobyMiller@Atma.com, or Master Oliver's email address, StephenOliver@Atma.com. So you should check your spam filter and make sure that you have that approved. Also make sure that we have, if you did not get a text message alert yesterday and today for today's call, if you didn't get that, that means we don't have a mobile number on file for you, or at least not in the right place. So again, give Bob a call at the office, 727-540-0500, extension 202, and you can find the number on the NAMA website as well under Contact Us. But send him, give him a voicemail, leave the detailed information, and we'll get your account updated. It's extremely important, as I'm going to talk about in just a moment here, we're expanding a lot of our programs over the next 60 days dramatically. I mean, I should take a photo. In fact, I will do. I'll take a photo of what my desk looks like right now. We are completely reorchestrating and rebuilding 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five or more, you know, I'm up to five so far. Five of our systems, our NATMA systems. And all of this new stuff, part of the magic and part of what is really going to help everybody, all of our members, is how we're going to be able to deliver that to you. We're going to be able to get this stuff to you instantly when it's available and exactly at the right time so that you can just pass it on in real time in some cases. In other cases, you'll have, you know, the appropriate time to chew on it and edit and do things like that. So we'll talk about this in just a minute. But it's critically important that we do have the right, you know, email address for you, that you're getting our emails, they're actually getting through your spam filter and stuff like that, and that we have the right mobile number, because we'll text you an alert when we send something that's important as well. So just make sure we have all that stuff. It'd be very useful. Again, if you're on this call, you probably already are getting all the stuff. But if for some reason you're not, just get Bob at the office and leave him a nice detailed voicemail. So let me, for just maybe 2 minutes before we jump into our topic, let's talk about what, you know, before we get into like October marketing opportunities. Let's talk a little bit about what we're up to behind the scenes over here at NATMA and how that can help you. We've, through very detailed and deep conversations with our Inner Circle and people, former members, now Inner Circle apprentice, and with a lot of our high-level members and a lot of our members, as we sort of dig into what your specific needs are in the new environment and the new economy with new technology, we've learned a lot, and we're re-engineering a lot of the way we're delivering our materials and also how the materials work so that they can help you quicker and help you more efficiently. So let me just give you a few examples. Over the next, let's say, 60 days, you're going to be seeing a lot of new stuff, new programs, new expansions of our programs, and new ways to deliver those programs to your students. So let me just give you a quick bullet point list and point out some highlights. Number one, there's an all-new program called the Ambassador Program that we're going to be launching here in just a couple of weeks. And the Ambassador Program is designed to help you stimulate referrals in your school. I know it's hard to remember to talk about referrals. It's hard to remember to, you know, create a systematic approach to creating referrals in your school. So we're just going to do that for you. So we've got the entire Ambassador Program that we'll be launching here in just a couple of weeks. And it'll have, you know, complete step-by-step detailed instructions on how to implement it, where to use it, you know, and all that sort of stuff. But then the interesting thing, the interesting part about this Ambassador Program is that we're going to help you continually reference and stimulate those referrals for you. So a lot of the content that we're going to be helping you with in our newsletters and our scripts and things like that will integrate that Ambassador Program into it. So our intention is that we'll be helping you stimulate referrals from a distance, right? Obviously, there's some human interaction that has to happen with all that, right? But we're going to help you with a lot of the automated piece of it. So we're really excited about that. Keep your eyes open for the Ambassador Program. That'll be coming down the pipeline here in just a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. The second piece is it's been on the website. It goes up every month. We typically send a version of it in the package as well. But we've always produced a kick-in newsletter. And we've always kind of just guessed and tried to figure out how members were using it. And the newsletter, number one, it's an incredibly powerful tool that's dramatically underused. And we've solved the reason it's so underused, right? The kick-in newsletter was designed specifically for students internal to the school. We dramatically changed that about 2 years ago and started to construct the kick-in newsletter so that it was appropriate for prospects. And we've gone through another iteration over the last couple of months where we've completely redesigned the newsletter as well, completely redesigned all the content. We have all sorts of new content that now is designed both for internal students and external prospects. But it's also going to help you with three key areas. It's going to help you stimulate referrals. It's going to help you stimulate upgrades, meaning people are going to, you know, we're going to be promoting your upgrade programs in the newsletter in a non-threatening, non-salesy way. And a third, it's going to help dramatically with retention because people forget why they bought what they bought, right? They forget why they signed up for lessons to begin with. So it's important for us to constantly remind them of why they enrolled in your program. So the new version of the Kick It newsletter, number one, it's going to have a completely updated look and feel. We're going to go Metro style, kind of like the flat, Metro design that's, I guess Android came up with, I don't know, but now Microsoft and everybody's using, including Apple. So it's sort of an updated design, but the intent is much more focused. So we're going to be helping your students come to you and ask you questions about your leadership program, about your Black Belt Club, if that's what you call it, right? About the Gold Team, the instructor training program, about how they can refer their friends to you, things like that. So we've standardized all that stuff. We're really excited about how this is going to work. Now, there are two additional enhancements to that, I think, that are going to be really, really valuable to everybody. The number one biggest reason we found that people weren't using the Black Belt Club Kick-In newsletter as much was because on the third page, we gave you a completely customizable open page where you can insert your own calendar of events, you can put your student of the month in there, you can do whatever you want, right? Well, the problem with that is that just creates more work for you, right? It just created more work for our school owner. Now, it's certainly worth it, right? You should be mailing and emailing the newsletter to all of your prospects every month. You should be mailing and emailing it to all of your students every month. But if you have to sit down and it takes you half an hour to fill in that page, that just layered more work on an already busy day. Okay, so we've solved that. We're now going to be giving everybody 5 versions of the Kick-In newsletter every month. Okay, and actually it's every week, but we'll talk about that in a minute. You're going to be getting 5 versions. One, you'll get a black and white version and a color version exactly the way it is today with the new design with an empty third page, so that you can update, you can put your schedule of events, your calendar, whatever it is that you want to put in that third page, right? If you want to use it the way you've always used it, you can just simply use the new version. You're also going to get 2 additional versions, a color and a black and white version, that has the third page completely filled in. And the third page is going to reinforce our Words of the Week curriculum. So it's going to give the student the quote of the week, the character skill of the week, automatically in the newsletter. You don't have to fill it out, right? It's also going to have a panel that will promote your upgrade program, will promote them giving you a referral, or other ancillary things. So, for example, the Ambassador Program, the Gold Team, the National Black Belt Club, and the brand new NetMA Leadership Program. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Does that make sense for everybody? So what I'm saying is, in the print version of the newsletter, you're going to be getting 4 versions. One set of versions where you can fill in the third page all you like. The other set of versions where you don't have to do anything. All you would have to do is just print them out and hand them out. Done deal, right? The curriculum is going to coordinate with the in-class lessons, and it's also going to help stimulate referrals, retention, and renewals, upgrades. Okay, so we're really excited about that. We're really excited to be able to take that labor off of your plate and just have it done for you. The 5th version of the newsletter, which is what I'm really excited about, is a weekly version of Kick-In by email. And that email is designed for your students, not necessarily you, right? So every week, you're going to be getting a new Kick-In newsletter by email, an HTML email, a nicely formatted, graphical, nice email template that you can... You have 2 options. You can go into the HTML, and I'll show you how to do it with free software and everything, and you can customize your links, right? So you can put your website, your phone number, all that sort of stuff in there, and then just pass it onto your lead list. Copy, paste, done deal, right? Or you can just edit out those sections, just delete those sections, and hit send and send it out to all your students and all your prospects, right? So we're really excited about that process. And there's some other back-end systems that we're working on right now that we're not ready to talk about yet, but there's some other back-end systems that are going to be really interesting over the next few weeks to help you stimulate referrals by pass-on, meaning you'll forward that email out to your prospects. It will then incentivize them to forward it on to their friends, and we'll help you manage all that data flow. We'll help you capture that data and get it into your systems. So long story short, that's just one of the things that we're working on in the components of our program. So if you look at the new versions of what we're doing with Kick-In, we're really excited about how that's going to work. we're giving the exact same treatment to our National Black Belt Club. So if you look at the current version of the National Black Belt Club, if you take the exact same concepts that we're using with Kicken, we're going to apply all that same stuff to our National Black Belt Club. So if you have a Black Belt Club or a Master's Club in your school, you can use all of this exact same content that we're using for National Black Belt Club and use that to help enhance and add value to that upgrade program. And this has always been a very popular concept, because what you're doing is you're getting your students to get anchored into a program that's bigger than just you and your local school. It's an international program, right, with, you know, tens of thousands of black belts all around the world, not just the, you know, the 50 or 60 at your school, but it's about being anchored into something bigger than just you. And that's one of the concepts that we talk a lot about when we look at scaling schools to multiple locations. So we're really excited about that as well. So if you think about all the stuff we're doing with our Kicken process, we're doing the same thing with our National Black Belt Club. And in addition to that, we've created an all-new NAPMA leadership program. So if you don't have a leadership education or leadership development program in your school, we're going to have all that done for you as well. So we've got curriculum, character lessons, you know, leadership lessons, content that goes directly to the students, newsletters, updates, things like that, that you can just plug and play, use for all that material. Really will take a lot of labor off your plate and again, anchor them into something bigger than just you, that, you know, anchor them into something that's national and in fact international in scope and nature, which is very useful for student retention and for referrals and things like that. So those are three sort of high points. I guess fourth, if you look at our Words of the Week character development program, we're dramatically expanding that as well. And again, we're giving you the ability to pass that information, pass those lessons on. Every week there's a new Word of the Week script that the instructors can just basically take into the classroom floor and execute directly from there. In addition, we're now also giving you the ability to create, you know, to turn that into digital content. So they can we can just pass it on to prospects. We can pass it on to students. It can create great email autoresponders for you and things like that. So, you know, again, that's kind of another enhancement in kind of what we're already doing as well. The third piece of it, it's a lot. We've been working really hard on this stuff. The fourth piece is the gold team, which we're angling much more toward instructor development. And we've again dramatically expanded what the gold team is all about, and that's going to be your sort of done for you instructor training, instructor development program. And again, same concepts. If you look back at what we're doing with Kicken, all the gold content is going to be you're going to be able to pass that directly on by email to your leadership team, to your instructor team. The lessons that they're learning are part of a syllabus that is going to be a high level instructor certification program. So when they're able to work themselves through all of those modules, all of those lessons in the syllabus, they're able to get a level of instructor certification through you and your school that will not only financially incentivize, you know, them with you, but also get them, you know, anchored into and become part of this bigger thing, this more complex organism, right? That you know, gives them that level of credibility, but also really delivers a high level of education to them. So, and there's a lot of material there. It's a very intensive program. So, a lot of you may have seen some of the like content in the ACMA program, the American Council on Martial Arts Training. So, you're going to be seeing a lot of that in the instructor development and instructor certification process. So, I know that's a lot, and I know it's kind of, you know, perhaps a little bit difficult to follow, but you're going to be getting all the information about this stuff over the next couple of weeks, probably in a week or so. You're going to be seeing the first pieces in the mail that will describe all this stuff to you. And then very shortly after that, you'll start receiving a lot of the new materials. So stay on the lookout for all that stuff. We're really excited about how that's going to look. We're really excited about getting the stuff to you quicker in real time and in the format that you literally don't have to do anything with if you don't want. You can just click send, you know, and get this stuff out to your students, get it out to your prospects, you know, sort of cutting out the middleman, for lack of a description. You still have, obviously, carte blanche authority. You can edit anything you want. You can change all that stuff. But you still, it's now a much easier process. You don't have to, you know, we've really gone and looked at all this stuff from a usability, user interaction standpoint. You know, how can we make this as easy as humanly possible to execute, to implement, rather than just creating more work for you? How do we eliminate that step? How do we do the work on our end and then get it to you in a format that you pass your eyes over it, you hit send, done deal, you know? Make it much more simple, much more quick to implement and execute. And then of course, there's, you know, some even more advanced tactics and techniques that we're going to be working on behind the scenes after we get this stage through. So, you know, we'll talk about that when we get there. But anyway, that's probably, I think from a logistical standpoint, that might have been a pretty comprehensive list.
Yeah, that was a mouthful. perhaps one of the things that you didn't emphasize on all of that is, you know, we've really come to the conclusion that the digital consumption of material has hit critical mass. And part of the conversations we had at the boot camp in the last few months with our high-level members is, you know, pretty much everybody in Inner Circle Peak Performers showed up last time, at the meeting with their iPads. And, of course, there's other alternatives now, Microsoft Surface and various Android tablets, although I think iPad's still 70-some% of the market.
That's true, but Android did outsell iPad now last quarter for the first quarter ever. So I think they may have hit an inflection point.
Yeah, well, we can continue to argue whether Apple or Microsoft is more cool and whether Android or iOS 5 is more cool. But, regardless of that, my point is that I think we've hit the point where most of our members are preferring to listen to audio on an MP3 player or an iPod or some such thing, and are preferring to read materials, whether it's like my new Mile High Maverick book, or whether it's the Mile High Maverick newsletter, or whether it's all the other reports and so forth that we provide, where there is now a preference for having that digital versus having it in written form. And, you know, a lot of people inside and outside the industry who are doing similar things to what we do, perhaps, shifted to essentially 100% digital delivery quite a while ago, and we resisted it for quite a while, in part because I wanted to make sure, and you wanted to make sure, that we had the best absorption mechanism for the members, and didn't just jump into something because it was the next trendy thing. We've certainly seen, you know, on the marketing side, people jumping into Facebook marketing because it's trendy without having results. And now, of course, we're teaching people how to actually have some results with that. But so we're with all of this new material, with the level of timeliness, with the fact that we need now to have digital delivery, whether it's Facebook posts for your school Facebook site, or whether it's email newsletter delivery for the newsletter and so forth. And frankly, our bigger members tend to have, you know, fairly substantial staff member, you know, staff. So they need an easy way to share across all the staff members. So I guess the other thing you didn't mention is, you know, we're really going to be, you know, killing a lot of trees, burning a lot less DVDs, burning a lot less CDs, but providing an awful lot more material and content, and an awful lot more leading edge content. So
if I were to expand on that as well, by the way, we're actually almost done with it. But we're converting a lot of the stuff that we're doing online as well to mobile compatibility. So again, you know, literally it's instead of, you know, because really a few people express this frustration. They love the sound success. They love the, you know, the teleconference CDs. But they've got to go, like, take the CD, put it in their computer, tear off the MP3, put it onto their into iTunes or whatever, and then get it loaded on their iPod, right, or into their phone. And what we're doing now is converting all that ability into just literally the email will come to you, the notification will come to you on your mobile device. You click the link on your mobile device, and it loads it into your thing. Done deal, you know? Yeah. So we're trying to kind of cut out all those steps, and the mobile piece of it, I think, is going to be pretty pretty cool.
Yeah, plus it makes it just a heck of a lot easier. You know, whether you have three part-time staff members or whether you have 40 or, you know, in one case, 150 staff members, it gives a much easier way to share it among all of them. And, you know, and again, that's something we're finding is the owner-operator who wants to, like, keep us behind a shield misses an awful lot of opportunity to directly educate their staff and to directly get everybody philosophically on the same page. And so with Inner Circle and Peak Performers, we're now doing an awful lot of staff show up directly at the meetings, staff teleconferences directly, et cetera. But it really facilitates being able to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. We, well, by the way, this call as well is appropriate for both owners and staff. So.
Yeah. I would recommend everybody always have their full and or part-time staff on this call. There's very rarely anything that you would be concerned about any of them hearing. And frankly, even part-time staff, if you're sensitive to them hearing discussions about marketing or retention or price rates and so forth, you really shouldn't be. Because, you know, in a martial arts school, you got to be careful for you not to be the only business person. You've got to make sure that all your staff are focusing on your school as a school and your business as a profit center. And there's certainly nothing at all wrong with having them involved in those conversations. Well, good. Hey, I had a couple questions that people sent me, and I'm sure you did too, and we wanted to get into the main meat of things. You want to take a couple questions ahead of time, or did you have some other content you wanted to hit ahead of time?
Well, we did want to make sure that we did sort of a rough outline on what we're doing for October, beginning of November, from a marketing standpoint. And you know, I had a couple of questions about that. Pete Johnson and I had an interesting sort of a discussion about some of the group events that we're doing and things like that. So we might want to bang through that, and then break for questions perhaps afterwards.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. So then just a quick outline for everybody. From a marketing standpoint, October presents a lot of sort of unique opportunity that sort of only happens this month, right, or that only happens in the next few days. And for many of you, this is going to be like, you know, review over review over review. But we are always on the lookout for areas in our community that are going to have a big influx of our ideal prospects, the people who we want to work with. You know, where are they in big herds? You know, I like Dan Kennedy's sort of analogy. It's all about finding the herd, right? It's about finding that big group of your prospective customers, the people who meet your, you know, demographic and psychographic profile, for example, and finding them, and then go interacting with them. See, I've worked with a lot of schools over the last, new members, over the last, let's say, 2 weeks. And if I were to categorize, if I were to make some sort of broad brush strokes, I would say that the big mistake that all of them were making was their idea of their marketing strategy was sitting behind the desk and hoping that someone would stumble through the front door and then being forced then to deal with just the person who stumbles in the front door, if that makes any sense. So, for example, if my school is not in perhaps the most upscale or the nicest area of town, or if my school is in a town that might be having some financial difficulty. I have two people that are on the call today that are just outside of Detroit, one in Flint and one in a smaller community than Flint. See, if your marketing strategy, if your whole business relies on whoever stumbles in the store or who stumbles in the front door, your business is at great risk and peril because the market segment that you're dealing with is so small and in some cases very unqualified. What a much better approach is to go find the right people. You know, basically your analogy, Mr. Oliver, you've got to go fish in the right pond, you know, and that's exactly right for the people that I've been talking to over the last couple of weeks. They're mostly not fishing at all. You know, they're mostly just kind of, you know, living on whoever stumbles in the front door. And a much better approach, again, is to go find the right group of people. Find qualified prospects. Find people who not only can afford what you do, but who are interested in things like what you do. And go get in front of them, right? Go market in that vacuum. Go market in that group of people. So if you look at October, obviously with Halloween coming up, there are two or three big deals. Like, you know, most of what we're doing in much larger schools isn't about how do I go, you know, generate 20 enrollments from one activity. Most of it is how do I generate two or three enrollments and do 12 of those activities, right? But there are some big rocks. You know, there are some of these big activities that we do that can generate, you know, 10 enrollments, 12 enrollments, 15 enrollments, 20 enrollments, 30 enrollments pretty quickly, right? And so if I were to pick those, two or three of the big things that we're working on right now, is, as I'm sure probably everybody, you know, on the call has been aware of at some level or another. So we're finding in the community where that big group of people are. And if you look at Halloween as a holiday, you know, all the places where those, you know, a big influx of people will be because of that holiday are great places for us to interact with them. So we're doing deals right now with all the local public and private schools. They're all doing some type of Halloween things, Halloween activities, right? In a lot of cases, they have a little Halloween party in the classroom, and sometimes they do a festival for the whole school, like a harvest festival or whatever, where they might use the courtyard in the elementary school and do little games or, you know, whatever. We're also looking at businesses out in the community who are going to have a big influx of customers, right? If you look at the little, you know, the Halloween costume shops that pop up in the empty big box stores, or the little pumpkin patches where people, you know, can go and pick pumpkins and things like that. If you think about that business model, it's only a business that exists for a couple of weeks, but they're going to have 4,000 or 5,000 customers all crammed into that couple of week period, right? And usually it's over the weekends, right? So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know. The fourth big one, I think, is all of the Halloween haunted house events. And that really tends to be a very good one because of the environment. And we'll get into that in a minute because of how traffic bottlenecks itself. And we'll get through that in a second. So what I encourage everybody to do is, you know, take out a blank sheet of paper and think abstractly. You know, think 40,000 feet in the air. Where over the next 4 or 5 weeks are there going to be 400 or 500 customers, you know, 400 or 500 of my prospective customers all gathered together? Where are they conglomerating? You know, where do they collect at this time of the year? And, you know, the quick list I just made, I think, is a really good start. It's, you know, elementary schools, public and private, because of all of the, you know, holiday activity they're going to be doing, all of the you know, Halloween activities they're going to be doing. There will be all sorts of other Halloween things. You know, if you're in the kids market, I'm sure there's all sorts of Halloween dances and costume parties and, you know, this and that. I mean, all sorts of things. If you look at the adult market, Halloween is like the biggest adult holiday, right? So if you're in the adult market, there are a lot of places that are doing similar types of events for adults, right? So anyway, you're in the business of finding where that big group of your prospective customers are and then figuring out how to go get in front of them, figuring out how to create a relationship or create a mechanism to be able to do that, right? So let's go just quickly from what I'm most excited about down. One of the things that I'm always very excited about that I've always gotten really good, well, not always, but I've gotten good results on for the last, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years anyway, is Halloween haunted houses, right? So typically haunted houses are, you know, they pop up over the weekends. They're in like the local JC's building, or there's a in Daytona Beach, there's an old plantation home called the Casements, and it's in Ormond Beach. It's in a nice suburb, and they'll have maybe 500 or 600 people a day, or maybe even 1,000 people a day that'll go through that thing on like a Friday and Saturday, the 2 or 3 weeks before Halloween. So in that environment, if you look at the dynamics of something like a haunted house, everybody like falls through the front door, right? They all go through like the door of the building, and they go through the thing, and they come out another door somewhere, right? So in our environment, what I like to do is the booth model. And if you're not exactly sure of what that booth model is, if you go onto the members' website and look for 250 intros, 250 intro, I-N-T-R-O, there's a conference there that explains in great detail, step by step by step, how we execute that. But the point is, you know, we'll do a relationship, we'll create a relationship with the facility, and we'll set our little booth up there. And since everybody has to bottleneck themselves to the front door, you literally will be able to capture basically 100% of the traffic, right? Depending on, you know, your positioning and things like that. But that's been an extremely useful, extremely productive activity for us for years and years and years. And again, it's mostly our ideal market. It's an upscale, nice area of town. It's going to have, you know, 400 or 500 people within 3 or 4 hours that go through the thing. Many of them are kids and families. That's the market that I'm particularly interested in. But they usually do a not-so-scary haunted house at like 5 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, it's the really scary one, right? So for a couple of hours, you get all the littler kids, you know, all the kids and little kids. And then for a couple of hours, you get mostly adults, frankly. You know, some teens, you know, but, you know, mostly it's guys like me, you know, that take their wife and they go and it's fun, you know. So that's an incredibly productive environment. So, again, I would encourage everybody to go to the members website, do a little search in the search bar for 250 intros, and that'll walk you through how to do the entire booth model, where we do the spin wheel, the registration, we get an appointment, and in some cases we make a little sale. And in a lot of cases we do that as an adjunct revenue generator for the host, for the haunted house. In some cases we just do it as a lead mechanism for them. It just kind of depends on, you know, what relationship you create with them, but it's just all about getting that relationship with that facilitator. So number one is haunted houses, super excited about them. We're working really hard to go get those deals done, right? Second most excited for us, I think, is the elementary schools and private schools. Almost all are going to have some type of an activity, which I've always thought was really interesting. You know, even in a lot of the suburbs that I, you know, play in, you know, even the private religious schools, you know, do some kind of a harvest festival or something, you know, some kind of an activity that that the kids are going to be involved in. So, again, big opportunity to do like a booth model, or some other type of fundraiser, some other type of lead generator that really generate, you know, a couple of hundred leads in a day, or, you know, in a Saturday afternoon or something like that. So that's I think probably second most sexy in my mind. And then third, I guess if you would chip your way down the road, would be the business-to-business relationships with the costume shops, the pumpkin patches, those types of things. And in those environments, I typically like to do the, you know, where we talk to them and their staff and we give them the big stack of passes and they, you know, deliver the pass and the one line of script for each person who does a transaction, right? So a family comes and they buy 4 pumpkins and they go to pay for the pumpkins and the cashier cashes them out and says, oh, by the way, have you ever heard of Mile High Karate? I see you have kids there. Have you ever heard of Mile High Karate? And the person says, what's that? And they hand them our little ad card or a rack card or whatever it is, and they say, listen, they're doing great work over there with kids and families. You should go check them out. And they hand them the thing, right? Some cases we're able to work with that type of an environment to actually get them to collect the lead. You know, so we do the big raffle drum where they, you know, everybody who buys a pumpkin, they get a free entry to the raffle. They fill the slip out. They drop it in there, and then that gets us the lead, you know, mechanism, right? So, again, the first big rock is where do we go find the big group of those prospective customers? Where are they going to be hanging out? The second step is how do I go interact with the owner of the business, the facilitator of the activity, whatever it is? How can I go interact with them and create a win-win relationship where I can be either present or have some mechanism in place to be able to generate a lead? And then it's about generating the leads and converting them, right? So. If you go back onto the members' website and look at community marketing, if you just search for that, you'll find step-by-step tutorials on how to do all of that stuff. But for us right now, in the family market especially, we're really focusing on haunted houses, elementary school, public and private, pumpkin patches, costume shops, you know, places, you know, the candy places where they get all the, you know, Halloween candy, stuff like that. I think the fifth item, it's sort of a marketing staple that everybody should be doing, is we always do the candy guest pass, right? So, you know, each of your students is probably going to have 10 to 50 kids that are going to come to their house and, you know, for trick-or-treating. So we print up the little guest passes, you get 5,000 of these guest passes for like $250 or something like that off of the print center. And I think there's probably 10 or so Halloween designs up there that you can go check out if you just go to the marketing center, the NatLa Marketing Print Center. And what we'll do is we'll print up 5,000 of them. We'll give each student maybe a stack of 25 or 30 of them, maybe 40. And their instructions are, you know, when anybody comes to the door and they're trick-or-treating, you give them the piece of candy, but you also stick this in the bag. You give them a little pass, right? So really all it is mass flyer distribution, right? But it tends to work relatively well. You know, again, if you have 100 students on the low end, and you know, that means you have 100 people passing out, let's say, 20 flyers. It's a good way to get, you know, a couple thousand flyers out all in one night, right? So I think that's a staple that everybody should do. But it's just kind of one of the recurring pieces of our marketing plan that we always have going on. And, you know, every Halloween, it's just kind of part of the deal. And there are a couple of pieces of magic to make that work really well. One is that, and again, if you go onto the members' website and you look up Halloween, you'll find a post up there that really has all the documents you're going to need. It has the letter you should send out, the flyers you should hand out, and then the link over to the artwork that you can download, or you can just have printed and shipped to you. But you want to make sure you tell everybody that you're going to be doing it, right? It's kind of like the Valentine's Day passes. But you want to make sure that you notify everybody in the school that, hey, you know, we're going to be giving all of our, you know, the greatest compliment you can give your instructor is to refer a friend or to recommend our school to someone else. And we've got a great program that 10 out of 10 dentists prefer over Halloween candy. And here's what, it's a much larger guest pass, you know. So we're going to be giving your children, you know, a stack of 35 guest passes on, you know, I don't know, if Halloween's on a Friday, I don't know what day to tell you the truth. But if Halloween were on a Friday, we're going to give it to them maybe 2 days ahead of time, right? We don't want to give them to them like a week ahead of time because they'll get lost and forgotten. We want to give them just a day or two ahead of time, right? So we give them those stacks of passes, and we just give them the instructions, you know. So all you're going to do is, you know, when somebody comes to the door and they say trick or treat, you're going to give them the candy, but you're also going to stick this in there as well, you know, that sort of thing. So I know I went kind of quick, but if you were to look at our marketing plan, if you look at the staples, the things that we're really always, you know, really aggressive with, I think that's probably the five or six that are, you know, need to be on everybody's list, I guess, if that's the best way to sort of describe that. Good. So and any questions on any of that stuff? I know I went through pretty quickly, but you can hit *6 on your phone and you can pop in if you do have any questions about any of that stuff. Again, I just want to give everybody the quick outline for what's happening in October. Let me say one more thing about that. Well, if you do have questions, you can get unmuted by just hitting *6. Oh, I see a few already have. But let me add one more item to that. Don't immediately assume that this is all labor that falls on your shoulders, right? I mean, I would definitely say that, you know, it takes hustle to really get these things cranking, right? But if you look at the booth model, for example, you can easily train a team of volunteers, you know, a couple of parents and a couple of students, to be able to execute that for you. That's an easy thing to delegate. You can easily teach, you know, you're probably going to be the one that has to go create the business-to-business relationships with these folks. But once you get that done, it's not all about you have to do everything, right? Just keep in mind, you're in a leadership role. So part of your responsibility is assembling a team of people who can help advance your goals, right? So, again, if you go to the 250 intros teleconference on the members' website, you'll see there that Sasha was our example. At any given weekend, Sasha might have 3, 4, or 5 booths going on all around the community that are all executed by teams of, in some cases, unpaid, in some cases, you know, maybe volunteers, some are paid staff members, but they're executed by people who aren't him, right? So you've got to be careful not to immediately take all that responsibility just onto yourself and think that you have to be the one that figures it all out, right? So just food for thought on that. You know, given a leadership role, taking a leadership role in this stuff, you can accomplish a lot of stuff all at once. You can't be two places at once, right? So, okay, so somebody did raise their hand. Who unmuted here? A 202 number. Who's 202?
That's me.
Sounds like Carol. And Toby, before you move on, and you ran through that pretty quickly, but in the kids market, elementary schools and similar organizations have all kinds of harvest festivals,
yep,
Halloween events, and then coming up into Thanksgiving events. And the Halloween deal is probably next to New Year's Eve, really kind of the biggest adult holiday of the year nowadays.
I think it's the most money spent by adults on adults. Other than Christmas.
As entertaining as that is, but there are enormous opportunities. Here in Denver, the local zoo has what they call Boo at the Zoo, and they probably run 100,000 people through the zoo, maybe more. And, you know, you can go set up a booth and you can give out, you know, everybody's giving out candy, but really you should be doing the little prize drawing and the wheel and all the stuff that we show you at in the resources you talked about online. But you really have to go through and, you know, spend some time on Google, more important, or just as importantly, is spend time just driving around your neighborhood and go to the rec centers, go to the churches, go to the all the different shopping centers, go by the major parks, go by the shopping malls. And the shopping malls tend to have, like, you know, indoor trick-or-treat things. A lot of the big bars and restaurants have all kinds of things that are going on. And again, you know, depending upon whether you're predominantly looking for kids or you're predominantly looking for adults, some of these activities will cross those boundaries. And others are going to be predominantly adults for, you know, fitness, kickboxing, MMA, whatnot. And some of them are kids, you know, for, again, for the kids market, all of the elementary schools tend to be doing things. And a lot of the communities have early October or Harvest Fest and end of October or Halloween things. So October and November, December, really the fourth quarter, tends to be the most productive part of the year for having lots and lots and lots of big community event activities that crosses, you know, kids market and adult market. So really, to be out there in the community marketing, it really is the time to be focused on that. And of course, we've got all the resources up online to teach you how to do that, but you really got to, you know, really got to get at it. So, good. Now, and we had Carol online, so. And Carol, you had emailed me the question, well, at least one question earlier, but right. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to use one family as an example. They've got two little girls in the school who are paying $129 and $139 in a half-hour Turtle Top program, which is for, you know, 4 years old and like that. Mm-hmm. And I've raised my prices since they got in. And now our starter price is $197, and then when they get within 1 year they get to their first upgrade, it's $259. So mm-hmm. I was talking to them about they've got two little girls, and I said, you know, the next program is $197, and he said, that's almost $400.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we like karate, we love it, but $400. We're teachers. We both teach school. And I tried saying some stuff, but I just wondered what you would say.
Well, I think there's to make it valuable for everybody, there's a lot of issues that go into that. One is
right.
is the first thing is if you're going to do a dramatic price increase. Mm-hmm. So let's say that historically I've been $120 a month, and now I want to get to $200 a month, or, you know, worst case, you know, Master Miller and I both talked to some people who are charging like $75 a month. I just talked to a couple of guys that run the Walmart schools, and they're, you know, they're charging like $70 or less a month. But if you were going to do a dramatic price increase, that's why I like to go through, and as you and I have talked about this before, but for everybody's benefit, really go through and do a dramatic renewal blitz through the entire student body. And you can do something where, you know, what they're going to pay doubles, maybe a fallback of a 50% bump, but you present it as, here's going to be what the new prices are. Since you've been a longtime loyal student, we're going to grandfather you in at the equivalent of the old prices. And by the way, we now have this new leadership program, and here's what it is. And the efficacy of that, if you do it right, should be anywhere from worst case half of everybody who's eligible ends up renewed or upgraded to sometimes as much as 75 or 80% of them. But the key elements of that are that there's a new program with new content with completely different deliverable, and when I say completely different, it could be there's 10% more, better, different stuff that they get. It doesn't have to be like the whole thing is different. but there has to be a perception in their mind that I've gone from this thing, which I'm coming twice a week and learning X, Y, Z, to I'm now doing this new thing, which is cooler, better, more fun, gives me more stuff to do and learn, et cetera. And there's a price bump for that, right? So that's one that's one way to think about it. The next way to think about rolling your prices up, of course, is that the next new person who comes in the door doesn't know what you used to charge. And so, and short of, their family member or referral of an existing student, they come in, pre-frame. But they don't know what you're charging, so now you can, you can really do a renewal blitz with all your current students to get everybody up on a new higher price point, and then at the same time start with new pricing on the way in. The third element to the question, if I'm at number three, is that, I really don't like charging, I'll use our term, little ninja. I don't really like charging the little ninjas program kids a lower price than anybody else. And so if I'm if my normal tuition is $197 a month, we're going to charge the little ninja kids $197 a month. And that way, if you're graduating out of the little ninjas into the regular program, there's not a price shock that goes with it.
Right. So I was talking about that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking it sure would be nice to charge everybody the same thing, and then we don't have to worry about that. For me, I teach in an elementary school, and we don't get it until 6, and a lot of these parents are saying, we get our kids to bed at 6:30 or 7. It won't mess me up with that, will it? And so we've, for a long time, had a half-an-hour class for them, and then when they're a little older, they go to the regular one-hour program. So this right mm-hmm. now, for these people, they're going from a half-an-hour program to a one-hour program. They were paying $139 for one child, and then I gave a $10 discount for the second child, so $129 and $139. And I thought, well, I'll offer them a discount as legacy students, basically. But, mm-hmm. At some point, do I, bring them up a little more or what? Because they're going to the full program. They know they're getting, in some sense, twice as much. Plus, they do know that there's more stuff they're going to get when they're in that different class.
Right. Well, Toby, what would you say to that particular question?
Well, I think we as like the operators and martial artists, we perceive, in some cases, higher value when it comes to more access or more classes or more longer time. I think the market doesn't.
I was just talking about, they know that in the next class up, they're going to learn a lot of stuff that they weren't learning in the half-hour class. So they know there's more to get. But
Right. And I was going to loop around on that. So I think here's what you've got to be careful of. And I think you're on the right track anyway. But see, the general market doesn't know what's up or down, right? And sometimes we assume that. We assume that they have a predisposed set of values or a predisposed set of understandings, most of which that we as an industry subscribe to the health club niche, right? Where a lot of schools, probably the bottom 60% of the industry, maybe 50% of the industry, like to charge X tuition for 2 days a week, X plus 10% for 3 days a week, right? And see, that goes back to our belief that we think access is really the only thing that we can charge more money for, right? Access and or content, what physical moves they're learning, right? But the reality is the market doesn't get that. The market doesn't understand that. The market knows really what we teach them when they come in the front door. So, and I know I'm not answering directly. I'm going to loop around to it. But so I think what you have to be careful of is really there's no, if you don't give them an option up front, if you sort of direct the conversation, then a two-time-a-week program can be just as valuable as a three-time-a-week program because you're the expert. You're the one who's diagnosing their needs and assessing what the program is going to get them the benefits that they want. Therefore, you then take the leadership role in that conversation, and they're going to believe your analysis, right? So in almost all cases, we recommend that you don't have any differential times. You don't have a two-time-a-week program and a three-time-a-week program. You don't need that. You just do the regular tuition, the higher tuition, whichever one, for the two-time-a-week program, and that's just what you sort of prescribe to people. So I think that sort of reality translates itself into what you're describing. if you're the expert and you're saying, here's the program that is going to accomplish the objectives that we have for your child, here's what it takes to get it done, a lot of these other arguments fall by the wayside, right? A lot of the, well, but it's an hour-long class, how come I'm paying the same amount for a 30-minute class? You know, all that stuff becomes almost irrelevant. Now, you do want to have, like, an answer, right?
Let me chip back in there, Toby, is what she's talking about is they're going the opposite direction. They're moving from the Little Ninjas, which is 30 minutes, to the regular program, which is an hour, and there's a lot of additional content. There's additional things they're going to learn. And, you know, in general, Carol, is you've got to just get immune to anybody saying, that's a lot of money for, or why is it more, or why do I have to pay the down payment? Is, you know, think of those as questions that are negotiating price. And I always move it back to affordability. Well, Ms. Jones, and it slips my mind how much you said they're going to be paying, but if it's $350 a month, you know, well, Mrs. Jones, obviously Susie and Billy really enjoy the program. Is $350 a month affordable? I mean, will you be able to put gas in the car, pay the rent, you know, feed them? Anemic kids don't do very well in martial arts and do this. Is that going to be affordable? And a lot of times what they try to do is shift it back to price, meaning, well, of course we can afford it, but that's just a lot of money for, right? Now, if anybody says that's a lot of money for, I always internalize that to mean that I haven't proven to them the incredible value that we provide.
Right.
So I haven't shown them enough testimonials. I haven't shown them enough vision. I haven't future-paced them enough into the future when their now 5-year-old child is going to be a black belt at 9 or 10 to really picture this is the valedictorian of their high school off to Harvard, right? And so what I don't like to have, I don't like to have anybody talking to me at a point of renewal, complaining about whether it's a good value or not. But you'll always get some portion, depending upon who your clientele is. You're always going to get some portion whose answer is, I could afford the $220, I can't afford the $350, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to you to decide whether there's some kind of like stair step or scholarship or something that you want to provide. And if you end up in a situation of doing more than maybe 10% scholarships, that either means you're like giving everybody a scholarship to justify mm-hmm. your pricing, or you've got a lot of broke people and you should probably get people who are, you know, more middle income or better into the school. But from the scenario you described before, well, I'm a school teacher and I do this and, you know, we only earn a certain amount of money and that's a lot of money for martial arts lessons, is I always take that as an opportunity to reconfirm the benefits. The benefits. Well, okay. Ms. Jones, Susie and Billy have been doing so great in class, and obviously, as we've talked about, you know, we want them to train to black belt and beyond, and you're really focused on all the benefits it's going to give them in school and at home, and this is going to help them really and dramatically, improve their confidence and focus. And we know that Susie's been having a little bit of a challenge with that. I guess my question would be, is it affordable? Can you still put gas in the car and pay the mortgage and feed them? Obviously, anemic kids don't do very well in martial arts. What do you think, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and make it a little humorous, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that happens, by the way, is you get a lot of the people who most question pricing tend to be the ones who can most afford it. is guy drives up in a Porsche wearing a Rolex and he says, oh my goodness, that's a lot for karate lessons, can you do better? And you've got somebody who's just in the mode every day, all day of negotiation. And so now what he's trying to do is negotiate back with you. And you've got to fall into that, you know, one of the ways to not fall into that trap is to go back to, well, I mean, is it affordable? You know, can you still, you know, put gas in the car and, you know, pay the mortgage? Well, of course I can. Okay, well, you know, the tuition is $497 a month. Did you want to, you know, did you want to write a check? Do you want to put it on a credit card? How did you want to do that?
Okay.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Oliver, that's where I was getting was from like a macro standpoint. It's you never want to be sort of drugged down the justifying price by commoditizing what you're doing argument. You know, like, well, it's X amount for this many classes, it's Y amount for that many, or it's X amount for 30-minute classes, X plus 20% for hour-long classes, that sort of thing, because that's like a no-win scenario. What you just did is exactly, I think, the right approach, where you completely decommoditize it. You don't want it to be a discussion about dividing the price by benefit, or dividing the price by hour, or dividing the price by class, any of that. You know, you never want to get into that, you know? Yeah, you know, your approach, I think, is exactly right. You want to completely separate the two things, you know? And the better you can get with that, I think the much better off you are with all those conversations.
Well, I think it's also a mistake, especially... Carol, like in the case of your cross school or the MMA schools, a lot of them try to make it for X amount you come once a week, for X, Y amount you come twice a week, for X plus Y plus Z you can come three times a week, you can come three times a week, plus you can take a Muay Thai class, and all of a sudden it's you know, feature upon feature upon feature, and it's about attendance. And if you're attracting the right audience, the biggest objection you're going to have, whether it's for a family or for an adult, is time, not money. And when you try to make it about you pay a lot more money so you can, like, essentially put a cot in the back and live here, is, you know, the there's some portion of the audience that's going to like that, but they tend to be the 22-year-old who wants to be Brock Lesnar who doesn't have any money. And everybody else are going, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm an associate at a law firm, and, or, you know, it's the soccer mom going, well, we're already doing soccer and we're doing violin, and, you know, you just told me I have to come four times a week now for this new upgrade program, and I really would like her to do it, but, you know, we're stretched to making it twice a week, and by the way, you know, I can barely make it here at 6:15, right? I mean, so you've got to be aware of what the single biggest objection is time, not money, for people who are in the, you know, the appropriate income demographic that you want. So, you know, be careful not to, you know, set yourself up, and you're not doing that, but you know, again, we see a lot of, like, Krav MMA schools who all of a sudden their pricing is all about, oh great, you get to come 28 times a week. And, you know, that doesn't help with most people.
And it reminds me, though, not to bring up, well, it's an hour instead of half an hour. You know, make
yeah.
sure it's kind of good to get a reminder. Don't say that. It's not about that.
Yeah. It's about they're now moving into the program because they've matured enough that they can really absorb and work with all of the appropriate curriculum. So they're now moving into a more advanced, more elite program that they're now capable of handling.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Hopefully that answered your question. I know it was a long answer to a short question.
Well, I'm talking to him tonight, so I'm going to think about this for a while.
Yeah.
I think the other part of that, Mr. Oliver, is you did mention, you know, differential pricing for the, you know, the guys who have been with you for a while, but I think you do have to not underestimate that, you know, when we're talking to people who have been around for a long time, they're the ones that are the most difficult to get them to change their perception anyway. Because they think we're worth what we used to think we were worth a year ago, you know.
Well,
so
because,
for those guys,
because
we always
told
kind of
them
have it. Yeah, exactly. We taught them what we thought we were worth before. So I usually, for those people, always give myself a way, you know, a logical way for them to be able to see the difference, you know. So you always have that when you're dealing with that the person who's been around for a long time.
Yeah, and it's got to be. What's new, different, exciting, expanded, and so forth. And that's why, you know, it's difficult to do. You're enrolled for 6 months, and now you're going to extend it for another 6 months, and you're enrolled for 6 months at $100 a month, now it's going to be $200. See, that's kind of a difficult conversation to have.
Right.
But you were enrolled for 6 months at $100 a month, and now we have this new black belt program, it's $150 a month. We have this new leadership program, it's $200 a month, and it's going to be $250 and $350, and we're giving you a huge, huge discount because you've been a long-time loyal student. See, that works like a charm.
Right.
So that's my car analogy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, good. Let's see if I well, thank you, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if we have any other questions.
We had a couple of other hands up, but they went down. So maybe we answer that. Maybe we answer that for them as well. Any other questions specifically on either what we have, you know, sort of cooking in October, early November, or really anything else that might be of use? Mr. Robert, maybe we could blast through one of your questions by email while people are getting ready.
Well, a lot of what I still see are, and let's take this one, an email question. It was a one-on-one conversation yesterday. Is somebody was basically saying to me, the consulting industry in the martial arts industry is telling people to do XYZ, and I'll fill in the XYZ in a minute here, but that, you know, that was a statement they made, and I think the reality is that there are, you know, two or three trends out there that are happening that are pretty counterproductive. One is in the adult audience emulating fitness centers rather than creating a real school environment. And emulating fitness centers from the standpoint of how to price, emulating fitness centers in the way to sell the program, emulating it based upon all the stuff we talked about, you know, how often you can come and so forth. And it misses the mark pretty dramatically. The other thing I think that the industry is kind of doing is focusing on layering on and layering on and layering on additional complications to the school, as opposed to focusing on providing value to the student, receiving more revenue from the student because you provided the additional value, and then growing a long-term sustainable business by having fabulous retention and incredibly happy students. And you and I see it all the time, which is $30,000 a month school that has six different $5,000 a month failing programs. And, you know, they've got a very complicated business structure, very difficult route to make an income, but a horrendously complicated marketing, because you're not going to market to, you know, 7-year-old girls, mom, soccer mom with a Range Rover in the same way you're going to market a no-gi MMA class, in the same way you're going to market a fitness kickboxing class, in the same way you're going to market whatever the other thing might be. And, you know, we've seen very successful schools, I mean, $100,000 a month, $50,000 a month net, with one basic curriculum. And, you know, there was, like, the I Love Kickboxing phenomenon. You know, Mike Perella does a marvelous job, but in his locations, it's all adult women kickboxing, and he's really good at marketing to adult women kickboxing. But now if that's an add-on to four or five other things, all of a sudden, you know, your whole business model gets muddled. And that's just one example. But that was a conversation I was having yesterday where that was, I thought, kind of a strange statement that was made. And the other element, I think, is what really is the difference between what we're focusing on and what an awful lot of people who are out there with, you know, with small or large megaphones telling people what to do, is that we're focusing on incredibly high value for the student and incredibly high value from the student and longevity, where so many of these other things, by the very nature of the way they're structured, is they create high turnover and low value to the student. So, when you're in a low tuition model, you tend to be in a high turnover model. And when you're in a high tuition model, you also tend to be, or in a low tuition model, you also tend to be in a model where you create, encourage, and develop people who bitch about every little aspect of things. The irony is somebody paying $400 a month, same person, is much happier with your program than if you're there paying $75 a month. So I've seen a lot of that kind of conversation where people get distracted. The other one, which was a question that I had a couple days ago, kind of revolved around hyper, the thing that Roland Osborne is doing, and you can kind of lump it in, I guess, with XMA, with Mike Chat. But what Mike Chat is doing with that right now, which I think is extremely appropriate, is that XMA is being presented as, here's an additional curriculum overlay for a leadership program. And what the hyper thing is being presented as is, here's the way to get the 14-year-old skateboarder crowd. And on the one hand, there's a huge market for, you know, median age of about 7, but a huge age for elementary age and middle school kids to do traditional-ish martial arts with character development and so forth. There's a huge market for that. There's not a lot of market for 17-year-olds who want to come in and learn tricking. Now, there's, if you bring in a bunch of 7-year-olds, sooner or later those 7-year-olds are 11, 12, 13, brown or black belts, and they're looking for something else to learn. And the more you can throw some additional cool stuff at them, it's why I like the Cali for Kids thing, it's why I like XMA, a bunch of other options. But at some point, 4 or 5 years into their curriculum, it's useful to throw something additional cool at them to keep them engaged. But it's not first-year curriculum. It's second, third-year leadership curriculum, black belt curriculum. And martial artists get so enamored of curriculum that the smaller ones forget they just need to go get 100 new white belts and make sure they all get renewed and charge them a couple hundred dollars a month, and now they've got a real business. Then they can worry about that stuff 2 or 3 years down the line when they have a lot of advanced students. So that kind of encapsulates 3 or 4 questions that I've had come across my desk in the last couple of days.
Yeah, it really speaks to the thing that we should all know, is that, you know, if you go back and look at Michael Gerber's E-Myth, right, we are all, this industry in general and all of us specifically, we are all that. You know, 99% of us are business owners who started out as a technician in the business. Therefore, we view the world through that lens. Therefore, we tend to always look for a technical solution to our problems. Technical meaning the technical aspects of what we deliver, right? The product that we deliver. If you were to ask, you know, 15,000 restaurateurs who started out as chefs how they could fix their restaurant, almost all of them would be thinking about the cooking techniques that they could use, or the source that they could get the food, or, you know, the dishes that they could put together. The reality is, in most of the cases, if they fix the marketing problem, as long as the food was good, if they could fix the marketing problem, they could take the restaurant as far as they would want to take it, right? But since they were technicians, since they started out as chefs, just like we all started out as martial artists, what they're really looking for is the technique. And if you look at that industry, just as a quick parallel, if you look at that industry, there's an entire cottage industry of companies kind of like NAPMA, or, you know, that sell information on how to be a better chef to restaurateurs, right? But again, the reality is, as long as the food is good already, right, as long as it's already, you know, satisfying the customer, it's just about getting more customers, you know, and it's about getting those customers to come back and about accelerating the value to the business. So again, I think it's exactly the same phenomenon. We have to be very careful in our niche. We have to be very careful in our businesses. You know, again, you know, we see $1 million-a-year operations, you know, $500,000-a-year operations, $800,000-a-year operations that have relatively bland curriculum. You know, most of us, what you're already teaching, you're just undervaluing. You're not, you know, perhaps capturing a big enough piece of the market. You're not framing them right on the way in the front door, whatever it might be, you don't need more stuff to give them. You don't need more curriculum to teach them, you know?
Well,
so what we really need to do is master the front end of that part of the business, in most cases.
And the example that I've used many times is the single best school that I've ever come across from the standpoint of long-term student retention is Buzz Durkin. And he is and was very highly profitable, very simple operation, very small town, and he had, you know, what I'll phrase the most boring curriculum I've ever seen. What he has is he has the nicest possible staff members, the most intense as possible personal follow-up on every human being, the most comprehensive service standards, everything from fresh flowers every day in the changing rooms to I can go on the list. But it's not about the exciting new curriculum and as martial artists we get hung up in misperceiving what the perceived value is for the student. And us teaching what we want them to learn is much less important than teaching them what they want to learn. And a large part of why they're there long term is social, it's not physical. And a large part of them continuing to be there on that social component is they like you, they like your staff, they like your their fellow students, they've built relationships with the fellow students. They may not feel like coming in and learning a new form or grappling today, but they want to go see Joe and Sue and Bill, who are their friends, to come to class with them, and they feel like they'll be letting them down if they're not in class. You know, in that sense, it's why the personal training phenomenon is there, they want to show up because they don't want to be embarrassed for not showing up. So all of the slick new stuff that you might go and try to learn, that isn't the gig. And we know that there's figuring out the right curriculum for the right audience. We know adult women tend to gravitate more towards fitness-oriented cardio, kickboxing, and Krav and so forth. We know that adult men tend to gravitate towards what they perceive to be MMA and is reality, pretty traditional Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu curriculum or a pretty traditional Muay Thai curriculum. We know the kids market, all the traditional arts, whether it be Kung Fu, Karate, Taekwondo, all that works just fine as does Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, at least for the boys. But then it's about really, really getting good at service, really getting good at the relationship, really getting good at keeping them long-term. And then if you want to find new stuff that's part of the leadership curriculum or new stuff that's part of the black belt curriculum to keep them engaged, that's fine. You know, I've often termed that as just coming up with stuff to teach them so you can teach them more stuff. It's not making them a better, quote-unquote, martial artist. What it is doing is it's finding things to keep throwing at them so that there's something new and engaging. And there is a value to that, but it's really not first year, second year. It's third, fourth year and the leadership curriculum. Well, Toby, that was about all I had here real quick.
Yeah, I think that got through my list too. You know, so if anybody has any specific questions about, any of the stuff that we covered today, including the October marketing plan, things like that, there's, on the members' website, we have the entire breakdown on how to handle the booth approach, how to handle the community relations approach, how to handle the business-to-business approach. So you really might want to start there and put all that, download, two or three of those conferences on your phone or on your iPod or whatever, and that'll really give you a good outline on how to approach this stuff. But there really is a lot of opportunity right now in that segment of what we're doing. So, it's a high time for a lot of this type of community outreach activity right now.
Yeah, and the cycle really needs to be you focus on having huge numbers of new enrollments in October and November and huge numbers of renewals in November, December. And, in my case, for my own schools, November, December has been the highest cash month of the year, oftentimes the month of November, December doing more than the previous 6 months from a standpoint of in-house cash, big down payments paid in fulls and so forth, has typically been between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And, you know, an awful lot of school owners kind of just shut down during that period of time, but I've always had my best cash flow going into the new year. And it's a good opportunity that if you have any outstanding debt to get rid of it, to build up a big advertising fund so you can really blitz the first of the year with things that are going to be highly productive. And it's a marvelous opportunity to clean up, in other words, to finalize renewals for any and every student that that have been overlooked, which always happens. Some of them fall through the cracks or just haven't been closed yet. So, I want to focus on that because if you go into the holidays without a bunch of new students, is December can be a decent enrollment month, but it is one where you're fighting some headway. And a lot of times you generate a lot of leads that turn into enrollments in January. But December can be your biggest month of the year from a standpoint of in-house contracts and cash because that's just a huge opportunity for tons and tons and tons of upgrades. But anyway, I think we're out of time. I hope that all of our inner circle and we're starting to refer to peak performers as the apprentice level, but I hope all of our inner circle and apprentice members will be there in Boston next week. We didn't mention on the line, but we had to go through the list and keep digging deeper for hotel options. Seems like there's a couple of other big events and activities in Cambridge next week. But we did find quite a few others that are maybe seven or 8 miles away from where we're meeting that were much more in the reasonable range. And I think we both sent those out yesterday, didn't we, Master Milroy?
Yeah, a couple times, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we came up with several that were, under 200 or under 170 that weren't too far away as long as you have a rental car. And, of course, Boston isn't a very big area, so you can go out in the suburbs a bit and then still be fine. It's not like you're in New York City or L.A.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, that's all I had for the day, and we'll be talking to them a lot more about the new program structure and launching the new program. We just want to remind everybody, the important thing is to get really good at logging into your member website at least once a week. Make sure that our emails from you aren't getting blocked in your spam filters or whatnot, because we're sending you regular updates of all the different materials that are available. So make sure you're keeping a real good eye for that material, and make sure we have mobile numbers because the main thing is for us to remind you and get you engaged with the teleconferences and the weekly material. And there's a ton of new stuff coming down the pipeline. We have quite a crew working on that. So, a few that are internationally outsourced, and we've got the Beehives running in Denver, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Orlando, and Point South running the thing at a high level and developing a whole lot of new material for you. In the meantime, I got to run. So thanks to everybody.
Sounds good, sir. Thanks, everybody. See you soon.